food, the news and the reviews.
And we've got Monica with us from doindubai.com. Welcome back.
Thank you so much.
It's lovely to see you.
I'm here with quite a lot of menus from quite a few beautiful venues.
Any chicken nuggets?
No, not for me, Mark. But if there were to be a chicken nugget, it would have to be the best chicken. Actually, we're talking about Lima later on, and I'm not big on chicken or meat anyway. But if I was, if I had to eat chicken, I think that sizzling chicken that they brought round would be equivalent to my top-class chicken
nugget. Are you going to be singing us a bit of karaoke as well?
You heard
sure.
completely wrong. I think Steph and I and you and maybe Zara much later on may go and re-record Steph's favourite karaoke song at Miss Wang's later on.
That's the karaoke venue. We're going to be talking about that.
Yeah, we are going to be talking about it. And I had not heard about that one. There's another one that's really popular that everyone's talking about. Yeah. Miss Wang's is new to me. All that's coming up. Chicken nuggets, by the way. If there's anyone listening who has the power to make chicken nuggets, if you were to make free-range organic chicken nuggets that cost a fortune, I'd buy them.
You can come to my house. We do actually do that.
Do that?
Yeah, Teagle chicken from New Zealand, from Spinney's. It's very good, and homemade breadcrumbs.
Very nice. Didn't know anyone was doing that.
And if you're doing paleo, you don't do the breadcrumbs. You do some rice flour and tapioca flour. So, sorry.
Yeah. I can't believe this is already happening. I can't believe there's chicken nuggets at Monica's house.
And we should do the karaoke at Monica's, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. We'll have a party around there, Mark.
Yeah.
Shoes off at the door. Right, let's start with Look Up Bar, which is one for the ladies, actually, this week, isn't it, Monica?
It is, yeah. So we've spoken about La Ville a few times. I first mentioned it, I think, in December when I was trying to avoid my visitors, and I sort of ducked into what was Cheval, and I think you and your husband went there for a nice breakfast. So they've also got a couple of other venues open. The Look Up Bar was open then. They've got Grapeskin, which is a very interesting venue. It sort of specialises in beverages and charcuterie. And it's in a very sort of nicely located bit of the hotel overlooking the courtyard.
Yeah, but they've got live music too. We had a guy
come in.
Yeah,
we had him in. He's really good.
And he performed. He was good, wasn't he?
Yeah,
so they've
got
lots of deals, but they've also got the Lookup Bar, which was open right from the beginning. So it's on the fifth floor. Now you get amazing views. I think there's a picture of Chris Fade with his sort of arm up that's trying to imitate the Burj Khalifa or something like that. So they've got a new deal.
Is it twisted ever so slightly so you can see his watch?
I didn't look that closely and his watch wasn't tagged, but I'm not sure. So they've got a new deal for the ladies. I think that's on a Tuesday, if I'm not mistaken. Could be Tuesday, could be Wednesday. I have to check that. But the deal is very good. It's two free beverages for ladies, including very classy canapé. And I've eaten the canapé there. I recommend the Padron Peppers. I hope they are on the canapé, the complimentary canapé menu.
What makes a classy canapé?
Nothing to do with sort of lots of white bread to soak up the beverage that you might be having and sort of tasteless cheesy type things on top.
So no white bread, because you know what I used to love back in the day, and they don't do them as much as they used to, but they should bring them back, a good vol-au-vent.
Okay. No wrong with a vol-au-vent.
Remember vol-au-vents?
Yeah, I remember them.
They were the right size to get in your mouth all at once.
Yeah. Nice
I think
and mushroomy.
If you're going to have a nice vol-au-vent, the pastry has to be exquisite, a bit like we just had from Duke's Dubai. So if you're having a kind of classy canapé vol-au-vent, you'd have to go to the bar at Duke's in Dubai. But we're talking about that later.
So there's no vol-au-vents to be had at Look Up Bar?
There may be, but I haven't had one. I mean, the chefs, there's Mexican, South American. I don't think vol-au-vent would be quite their style.
Where's a vol-au-vent from, France?
Vol-au-vent, sort of Middle England, 1970s, maybe?
No, we did not come up with the vol-au-vent.
It's a French name, though, isn't it?
It's a French word, yeah. And it must be France originally. Mm. And then the other thing I like about this deal is there are two beverages that are complimentary. And then after that, the beverages are 20 dirhams. So they're not saying pay an arm and a leg like 50, 60 dirhams for a beverage, a normal price. They're not even, say, sort of paying half price. They pay a little bit for every subsequent beverage that you want. So I think it sort of discourages people to perhaps imbibe a little bit too much.
By the way, when did that happen? Because I found myself paying 50-odd dirhams for a beverage last night, and I thought, is this going right now? How did that happen?
I actually think I think that is kind of the going rate,
if
not more. And I am very, very picky. I look at menus, and if they have sort of got beverages on there and there's a mixer required for the beverage, I'll say, does that include your mixer or exclude it? Because then if you've got a 55, 60 dirham spirit beverage, for example, and you're adding on another 20, it's never less than that. For a beverage, it's too expensive in my view. So I get a bit cross about that.
Okay, so Look at Bar. Could you take your fellas along? I know it's ladies' night, but some of these things
I think you could, and possibly leave them at Grapeskin to have the deal, and then they could come join you. Because if you're paying, I don't know, the subsequent 20 dirhams for the drink, would that be just for ladies or for the gentlemen as well? Not sure. So the two complimentaries are definitely for ladies, but maybe they'd be a bit flexible on the gentlemen.
I always wonder about ladies' nights. You know, now I'm married, can I not go? How does it work?
You'll want to soon, Steph.
Can you not go?
I'll want to soon.
Of course you can go.
You will.
Yeah, but I'd like to take him.
You can. I guess maybe he'd just have to sort of pay a little bit more.
Okay, which would possibly balance out on a normal night there, because I'd be paying less.
Why would you be paying less on a normal
night? Because it's
ladies'
night.
Oh, yes, of course. Yes, it would be a normal night. Exactly.
It's probably a better idea to take your guys to ladies' night.
Well, unless you're insecure. because there'd be so many ladies there without gentlemen, and he would be in the minority, and perhaps.
Oh, you know, yes. Yeah. I see exactly what you're getting at here.
They have a little bit more attention than normal.
Okay, right, got
you. At the look-up bar, yeah, things are looking up for the ladies, but maybe for the few gentlemen as well.
Okay, I want to take you from City Walk all the way to downtown, through the traffic, to Toko, if that's all right.
Yeah, go for it.
What do you know Toko as?
Toko is a Japanese sushi-type place, very nice, on the ground floor of the Vida Hotel. I think it's an independent restaurant from the Vida, although it's housed there. But it's recently changed decor. Yeah, that's what I know about Toko.
What about you, Mark?
I know it sounds Japanese.
See, I know it. When I think of Toko, I think of Will Smith having gone there, and I think of Kim Kardashian having gone there, because I got invited to the night that Will Smith was going to be there, but I didn't know he was going, and it's literally 3 minutes walk from my house, and I remember sitting in the house thinking, nah, can't be bothered. Biggest regret ever.
Did he show up?
Yeah.
He did.
Everyone had a picture with him, so that was a big mistake. So that's how I remember Toko. But I was there last night and I got chatting to Alex, who's the manager. And he's from the Ukraine, which is right up there on my travel list after chatting to Harry. Remember when Harry came in from Dubai 92?
Yeah.
And he'd just been there last month.
And my favorite part is Lviv, which is on the west side. It will give you a bit of touch of European architectures. I would not go for the eastern part right now, not the best situation there, we're still in war. Capital Kyiv, the south part, like Odessa as well, like it was the mother of all the cities of post-Soviet countries. And the western part, must try. We have the mountains, we have the access to the sea, we have a lot of different rivers, big lakes, one of the biggest one in Europe is in Ukraine.
I'm sure I know the name of it.
Shatsky Azora.
So that's a bit about the Ukraine from Alex at Toko. But if you're thinking, oh, I know Toko in downtown, you might know old Toko, but Monica's right, there have been some changes.
We renovate the place during the summertime. We've been closed for 6 months for renovation. Before we've been a Japanese restaurant. Now we are more on Asian side. We give a bit more on touch into China. We give more touch for Thailand, Vietnam, all these Asian countries. And of course, our biggest influence on the kitchen is Japan. Obviously, as soon as you see sushi, sashimi, wok, rabata dishes, all these touches come from Japan. And after the renovation, we've been closed for 6 months, we changed everything a lot. And this place we call Garden. Why? Because of the green stuff or surroundings. What we wanted to make sure that when you're coming in, you don't feel like being in Dubai.
Yeah, and they've done that really well, actually. We were sitting out there last night in the garden, commenting on the trees. They look like they've been there forever, right? Like, they're not equally spaced apart. They're different kinds of trees.
Yeah.
We were sat there thinking, I wonder how much it costs to bring in established trees and plant them.
The
it's
trees,
be a lot of money.
Trees, yeah, absolutely. The trees are absolutely beautiful. And then to maintain them as well in the heat that we have that's just started.
So, and I never see them coming in.
There's a lot of these trees, then?
Trees appear. There's probably about, I want to say 10 or 15 trees.
They position them quite nicely, yeah.
It is nice in there, isn't it? I did get bitten last night by mosquitoes, though, so just make sure if you're outside at the minute, you've got your spray on.
No. thankfully.
Alex was lovely.
Right.
But it's not just the look that's changed. It is the clientele as well.
Before it was more fine dining restaurant. Now we are more casual, more relaxed, more family friendly. As you see, we put a lot of lights so you can see the food, what you're eating. In comparison to the previous setup, we reduced the prices nearly 2 to 3 times to make it like everyone can come and enjoy as much as they can.
So I went along last night for sushi night. Now, this happens 7 till 10pm every single Monday. And the menu's made up of maki rolls, nigiri sushi and sashimi. 248 dirhams each. For that, you get a platter with everything. And then you can reorder as much as you like of the favourite stuff. So you get everything once.
Yeah.
And then if there's anything particularly that you like they had a really nice baked black cod maki roll on there. If there's anything like that, you can say, I want another one of them. And then I want another one of them. If you've got a big appetite and you adore sushi, you will like this. You'll enjoy it. I am not sure I like sushi enough to pay 248 dirhams without the drinks, to be honest, because I was full by the time I had the first lot.
I get full really quick with sushi.
It's the rice, isn't it?
3 or 4 and that's me done.
And it was beautiful. And I think you can tell, can't you, what good sushi is and what bad sushi is? Like the rice tastes different.
Yeah.
And the fish was amazing. But I did ask Alex, actually, what makes good sushi?
I believe he's a sushi master. Firstly, he's from Japan and he's working from the kitchen from the pre-opening of the previous, of the first Toko. Obviously, all of our kitchen is separated into the sections. We have rabata, we have wok, we have sushi, we have maki, and we have the dim sum and the pastry. And behind each and every single section, we have a chef who who is assigned only for that particular area. So the guys, they know what they're doing. They're doing only these particular things like sushi or maki, or they're just doing the wok, and they're putting their soul, they're putting their heart, they're doing with love.
So it's all the chefs. It's the chefs that actually count when it comes to sushi, according to Alex from Torco. What do you think, Monica?
I agree. I think you need to work very hard to be a good sushi chef. But I think if they do want to attract a more general, wider audience, not the fine dining that he's suggesting, then they need to do one of two things. They either need to lower their prices a bit more, or they need to say from a particular sort of set a la carte menu, not only can you have unlimited sushi, but you can have one or a few of these dishes as well that are not just sushi. As you say, you got filled up too quickly with just the rice on the sushi.
We have got some great restaurants coming up to tell you about when we come back. We've got the menus and the...
Yeah.
And the
venues
and the
Miss Wang's.
Menus and the venues.
Oh,
Mark.
Venues and menus. Oh.
Yeah. Venues and menus. Start it with a V, yeah. So venues and menus.
Come on.
Menus and
food. The news and the reviews.
This is The Ticket with Mark Lloyd and Steph Bergen.
On Dubai Eye 103.8. Food.
The news and the reviews.
We've got Monica with us from doindubai.com.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear her sing a bit later on. I'm looking forward to that.
I'm not going to hear the end of this, am I?
I sing on this show all the time. Yeah. Other people should have to sing.
Yeah, I know, I do as well. Pretty much every show.
Monica, I think you've done a disservice to Dubai by going to a karaoke place and not recording yourself sing.
Okay, Steph, you and I, that Carpenter song was the one I chose. We're talking about that later.
Oh, we've got a duet coming up then.
No, you laid down the gauntlet for another show after we've practiced.
Oh, I'll do it.
But on to our next restaurant, I think.
Okay.
Okay, so we didn't have time to mention this on our last show, and I didn't want to sort of squeeze it in because I think it merits a little bit of time. It is yet another Peruvian, and you're thinking, oh God, another Peruvian,
not
I hear you say.
Ceviche.
It's another Peruvian, but it's not only ceviche. It's Lima Dubai. This is a branch from London. I don't know if any of you have been to the Lima in London. I think they've got two there, one in Fitzrovia side, and I think maybe one in Harrods as well. I've heard of it, but I haven't actually been to it, but I'm going to go this summer.
I'm the kind of person who can only go to posh restaurants in Dubai. Anywhere else in the world.
Forget it.
Yeah, but
forget
the thing is, in London, it's quite different. You don't have to be a very posh person to go to a sort of smartish restaurant, don't you agree?
No, I feel like I have to be posher to go to restaurants in London than I have to be to go to any in Dubai.
Oh, okay. I don't feel that at all. I think it's like a lot more casual. So
honestly?
Yeah, I think so. I think people of all sort of different classes and walks of life can go to sort of smartish restaurants, even though they may not earn lots. Whereas here, I think it's so prohibitively expensive. I think only kind of very, very well-heeled people who've got deep pockets will go regularly to nice restaurants.
That's interesting, isn't it?
And that's what I think this Lima place is. Not that it's very, very expensive compared to some. So where do we think Lima Dubai is located?
DIFC?
Not too far away, but not quite.
All right. Satwa.
Nope, we're back in Ruby's and Lima. No. We're back in City Walk. And what's interesting about this one is it is licensed. But as far as I know, at the moment, the only hotel is the one we were talking about earlier, La Ville. So Lima Dubai is actually licensed remotely via the La Ville Hotel. So first challenge is to find it because, I mean, I went into the La Ville Hotel and I said, I'm looking for Lima Dubai, and they actually had to take me there. So all you do is you go sort of back out the back way where the Farsi Cafe is, and there's the Galvin restaurant, not the Demoiselle that's opened, but I think it is the Demoiselle that's opened. And then behind that area is a sort of section of trees, and it's called a courtyard, and there are 3-4 new restaurants about to open, one of which is Lima Dubai. So make the effort and do find it.
Like a small little courtyard?
It's a small little courtyard, yeah, and I think there's sort of 4 restaurants around there. But I think because it's licensed and people are allowed, permitted to sort of sit outside and have beverages, I think that's why they've got the trees, and it's not as open, if you like, as, say, where the Farsi cafes are down that pedestrianised street, because I don't think they'd have tables outside with people imbibing there.
So I absolutely love what they've done with City Walk. They've built it. The planners deserve a medal for that. It's fantastic, isn't it?
And I think it's going to get better and better, actually.
Yeah.
It's, you know, we could do a whole show just on the new places that open in City Walk, but we've peppered them along with other restaurants. So what would you eat there, you're asking me, I'm sure?
Ceviche.
You eat ceviche and the calsas. Do you remember we spoke about, I think it was Coya, and they had hundreds and hundreds of, or thousands of types of potato from Peru. So I really liked one of the calsas that they had there. And it was, again, done with a purple potato, which I really like. And the doindubai.com blog, the radio post, has got a picture of all this purple purple potato that I've cut open and zoomed into the purple. Yes, they do have they have ceviches there, which obviously the seafood. I was talking about chicken. You were talking about chicken nuggets. There's a chicken breast pachamanca, which I highly recommend because it's like a sort of sizzling chicken. Very tasty. 110 dirhams served on a sizzling plate. I really like that. You must go upstairs to the bar area and try their signature beverages, which I think anyone who knows about Peruvian food will know what I'm talking about. In terms of the desserts, there are two. They have something called a chocolate avocado mousse. Now, I will say that's a bit of an acquired taste because it is sort of avocado is making the base of the chocolate mousse, if you understand.
But avocado and chocolate is a big thing.
Yeah. Have you eaten avocado
chocolate mousse? I spoke to Jason Mraz, who is a very famous singer, who owns an avocado farm. And one of my questions was, what do you do with avocado? Mm-hmm. And he said, always put it with chocolate. The best thing you can do with an avocado is marry it with some chocolate.
So when you say marry it, do you mean slices of avocado and pieces of chocolate?
Anything you want, or you can blend it together and whip it up into a nice mousse.
Yeah, so that's what they've done here, whipped it up into a mousse. To me, it was a slightly acquired taste. I wonder if it was because I knew it was avocado.
Maybe.
Maybe, but then even if I didn't, I was sort of trying to, you know, kind of separate what I knew from what I tasted, and it wasn't... Okay, I mean, for me, it wouldn't be something I would order again as far as desserts were concerned. I'd order their suspiro, which was very, very good at 50 dirhams.
But haven't you had those cakes that are made, and normally it's in like health food places where it'll be a cheesecake, but they've used avocado and they've got like a crunchy toffee bottom.
Okay.
They're amazing.
Yeah, I've heard about them. I've heard about them. Actually, Steph, apparently avocado is very last year. It's sweet potato now is supposed to be the base for all these very, very healthy cakes. Absolutely, yeah. Well, it's sweet. It's mushy. So why not? I've not eaten them, though. They pop up a lot on all the sort of Australian feeds, all the
sweet
Melbourne
potato.
Type. Sweet potato is the base for the chocolate.
Yes,
but that's what you're doing for the cake.
You've eaten sweet potato.
I've eaten sweet potato, not in a chocolate cake.
Okay.
That's what I mean.
It in a chocolate.
I've had like the zucchini and the beetroot type things that are substitutes for the bulk that makes up a chocolate cake. I've had the avocado chocolate, which I wasn't too kind of... Maybe Jason Mraz's will taste a bit different.
So text affordable 01, what can you not put in a chocolate cake? And I'm going to leave you to think about that, and we're going to come back. We'll talk more about this when we do.
Real classic dishes. We have the Nerano pasta, which is a courgette, and you have the sea bass, you have the tuna tartare. It's basically a restaurant that really reflects the Nerano style of cooking, and whatever they do there, they do it here as well.
Food. The news and the reviews. Everything you hear on The Ticket, you can find online.
Check out the blog at DubaiEye1038.com.
We've got Monica with us from doindubai.com. Great foodie blog. And we were talking about Lima, a new restaurant, which they have an avocado chocolate cake. Now, other people are using sweet potato in their chocolate cake, and we threw it out there, didn't we?
Yeah.
Into the ticket sphere.
Yeah.
And we asked you, what can you not put in a chocolate cake? Affordable 01. Great text coming in.
Rupert says broccoli. Kimchi and oregano.
I think oregano you could.
Definitely you could put on oregano. I think probably some Italian cakes, any sort of mid-tasting Italian herbs you could definitely marry with a chocolate cake. I agree with the kimchi. No.
If you grated the broccoli, I think it'd be fine. Good texture.
I'll wait for that one next time. Steph.
Roast it and grate it. Another one, sardines.
Ooh.
Agree.
Ooh.
Although Heston Blumenthal, I bet you, has done some sort of dessert with a fish in it. I think there is a fish ice cream, so why not a fish chocolate? I'll look it up.
And then this doesn't fit the brief, really, does it? Because this can be done.
Yeah, chocolate and sauerkraut.
Again, that's like a kimchi. It's like a pickle, so I agree.
That you put on your hot dog when you're in Germany.
Yeah.
It's that stuff.
Yeah.
I bought a jar of that the other day. Right into me pickles at the minute. What about cucumber?
A bit watery, isn't it? So I don't know how that would behave once it was cooked.
Right, that's good. That wouldn't work in a cake. That's what we want.
Can I go for beetroot?
Absolutely.
No. Beetroot totally works in cakes. Yeah. I've had cakes with beetroot in.
That's what I mean. No, beetroot, absolutely, you can put
so
in
a
chocolate
cake.
That's
what
I meant.
That doesn't work.
Oh. It's not.
It's the only things that don't go into chocolate cakes, please, 4001.
Tripe.
You'll be punished like Mark Lloyd.
Tripe. Did you hear that? Yeah, I agree with that one. That cannot go in.
Yeah, and when you said tripe before, it reminded me of like little livers, chicken livers.
Yeah.
That would be a horrible surprise in a chocolate cake, wouldn't it?
No, we're digressing. Well, if you want to try the avocado mousse, the chocolate avocado mousse at Lima, that will set you back 50 dirhams. And it's got, according to the menu of Menus and Venues show, or Venues and Menus, 75% chocolate and some ricotta pepper. So that's quite good. And the earlier thing I was talking about, the calsas, which was the potato thing, the one I was referring to is actually called sour root. So it's made of purple potato, ají amarillo, baby roots, and escabeche sauce. Very, very good. All well put together. 50 dirhams. So I think this is an affordable type of place. Very, very stylish, you know, kind of casual, but smart at the same time. I think we might actually go there again next Sunday with a group of friends. I like it. Maybe we have a drink at Grapeskin and then go to Lima to have something to eat. But I think if they perhaps did a little bit of a deal, they'd get some more people in there to begin with. And as we know, in Dubai, people want to go where there's a bit of a buzz.
Yeah, nothing is that buzzy at the minute, I find.
Well, you're wrong. You're wrong. When we come to talk about the Viceroy, I think you're completely wrong there. That was beautifully buzzy.
Was it beautifully buzzy because everyone was there for free?
No, not at all. They were not people who were there for free. It was day four and it was very, very buzzy. Very nice. Yeah.
You know, though, these media things where you go to and it's obviously buzzy, but you do wonder that when the media goes home. So it wasn't, it was just open for business.
I think they were people, it was definitely open for business. I think it was day four. I think we went on the Thursday before last. It was pretty decent occupancy. There were lots of people lying by the pool. There were people in the restaurants and there were lots of GCC visitors. They definitely were not part of the media. They were there with their family. The lobby had people in it.
So which restaurant is this? Quattro Passi?
This is Quattro Passi. So the Viceroy Dubai, you can't really miss it. Has anyone driven past it or seen it at all?
I haven't been onto the Palm for about 8 months.
Okay, yeah. Well, this is a good reason to go onto the Palm, actually. Its address is fantastic. It's number one Palm Jumeirah, which I think is very classy to begin with.
I like number one anything. It's good, isn't
number
it?
Number one anything. So number one Palm Jumeirah is the new Viceroy.
Do you know what number one Sheikh Zayed Road is?
Is that the Fairmont?
Is it the one of the an office to pay your bills or something?
I think it's the Fairmont Hotel.
It's the H. Ah, H Hotel. Used to be the H Monarch Hotel. Back in the day. Yeah,
and then they've left off M-O-N-A-R-C. Mm. Kept the H.
Ah, yeah, I suppose so. So if you look at it like that.
Yeah, so the Viceroy Hotel, very, very stylish. It's got these sort of two white buildings and in between them is a white cube. And you know sometimes you get these bottles with ships that open in the bottle. They've done something sort of very elaborate that they've sort of opened up and it's like a beautiful wooden structure in this cube. So you want to take pictures from as soon as you walk in. And initially they didn't know what restaurant that we had been booked into to go to. And I thought, oh, it must be this one because this is very smart, which I think was called the Boulevard on One or something. And they said, oh, sorry, no, we've taken you to the wrong one. I thought that was pretty posh. So they said, no, you've actually been booked into the signature restaurant, which is Quattro Passi. Do you know what Quattro Passi stands for?
It means
Italian word?
Four steps.
Four steps. And I actually chatted to Robert Nilsson, who's the exec chef of the Viceroy, of all the restaurants there. And he explains the really traditional and regionally specific dishes that he's put on the menu at Quattro Passi. This is before we had our food.
Real classic dishes. We have the Nerano pasta, which is courgette, and you have the sea bass, you have the tuna tartare. It's basically a restaurant that really reflects the Nerano style of cooking, and whatever they do there, they do it here as well.
You know, I'm finding with a lot of Italian restaurants that are opening in Dubai, all going back to their roots and using really traditional recipes.
I agree and I disagree. So, for example, one of the things that I had, I can't remember if you mentioned that or not in this case, the burrata and the rocket and the tomatoes. I mean, there's so many Italian restaurants in Dubai where you'd get that dish. And how do you distinguish between, oh, this has gone back to sort of traditional Italian ingredients and this one hasn't? So in terms of taste presentation, how do you distinguish? So lots of people have that on.
Well, not so much that, but specific dishes that, I've spoken to chefs and they've said my grandma taught me how to cook this.
Yeah, I remember that one you
mentioned.
And
this is like a peasant dish that we would have in Italy.
The salad thing with the bread and tomatoes. Yeah. Yes, I remember. Yeah,
those doing kind of traditional dishes.
This one actually has the original branch on the Amalfi Coast. I think between Capri and Positano, I think the chef was telling me, and in Nerano. And they have taken some dishes straight from there. So one of the pastas we had, he spoke about the sort of courgette with the parmesan. I didn't want to order it. And they said, come on, this is, you know, the signature one. It was delicious. Absolutely.
How did they do that then
divine.
With the courgette? Pieces or is it blended into a sauce?
It's blended into a sauce, but you still know that it is bits of courgette because it's green and you can see it. But the flavouring that he's got is spot on, actually, and it wasn't very heavy. So we had that, and we had this burrata thing, and we also had a really, again, a sort of a dish that I've had at lots of restaurants, a tuna tartare. But the way they piled up the avocado, the tuna on top of the avocado, they'd done these sort of blobs of mango sauce, which is very Californian. You know, this whole vibe of when you walk into the hotel, and including at this restaurant, is very sort of Santa Monica meets Miami kind of vibe. They've got these very, very thin, tall palm trees, those Californian types that sort of line the swimming pools there.
Okay. Yeah.
And the food as well. I was sort of reminded of restaurants that I'd been to in Santa Monica. So like they've got these vaulted ceilings. They've got that at the Scarpetta in the Montage in Beverly Hills as well. But it all works. And it's a place you think, actually, I've forgotten I'm on the Palm. in Dubai, in the Palm Jumeirah. It's not sort of just another skyscraper with restaurants.
Oh, that's quite nice.
It is. It's very, very well worth going to sort of experience the vibe, to have something to eat there. Yeah, and they have what I'm really excited about, the other restaurant's Boulevard on One, but they've also got another restaurant which is not yet open, and I have high hopes for that one, and that is called Made in Shanghai, which is going to be a Chinese restaurant, I think opening within a month or so.
Let's just back this truck up and ask the question that ticketers will be asking right now, because if anyone is listening to this and thinks the way I do, it's Italian food. I don't want to pay a fortune for Italian food. I want really good pasta, I want good pizza, maybe some original dishes, but I don't want to pay a fortune for it. No, it's Italian food at the end of the day.
Well, I have to disagree with you there, because food is food at the end of the day. I don't think you're going to get pizzas at Quattro Passi. You will get pasta. It's very good pasta. It's not exorbitantly expensive, but it is slightly more expensive than, what would I say, sort of normal. I don't know if that is slightly more expensive than you could perhaps get in other places. For example, let me see. We had the burrata, I think, was 125 dirhams. So maybe
That's a starter,
but it's a big starter. So if you look at the portion, I'm doing a post on it, you get a proper almost dinner plate of a big sort of portion of burrata, a lot of different types of tomatoes, and a lot of rocket salad.
How many more people than could enough you
two,
share
two
it
people
with?
Can share that with easily as one starter
could
with
three?
Bread and olive oil. Well, we had two starters between three. Then they said, no, you must have the pasta. So we had three starters, and then we had two main courses. But you know what I'm trying to say is I've had it in other places that are not nearly as cool and classy, and it's been 95. So paying 30 dirhams more on top of that dish, for example. You know, you're not paying 50 dirhams more. What I thought was slightly overpriced was the portion of fish. It was very, very good as well. It was a sea bream sort of fish that I had, done really beautifully with cauliflower puree. That was 185 dirhams. Now, again, I've been to places like Catch Dubai a long, long time ago, and I've said this before on this show, 220 dirhams and then another 60 dirhams for fries on the side. But I still, which I think is overpriced, but I still think that this was could be a tiny bit more generous, the portion for what we got. So I was glad they said, oh, no, you must have this other. They just brought out another pasta. The chef was there from Italy, not Roberto. This was another one. Antonio, and he said, oh, I've just had this really nice mozzarella come in. This is this smoked different sort of mozzarellas, different kinds of cheeses, put this together, and he gave us that pasta, and we needed that third main course, even though we had three starters. So okay, a little bit more expensive, well worth it, possibly save for a special occasion.
Okay, fantastic.
Loved
another
it.
Couple of text messages coming in to 4001, things that you can't put in a chocolate cake. Garlics and onion, says Abdullah.
Correct.
I don't know, I think garlic could work in a way. Have you ever had pickled garlic? It doesn't really taste like garlic. Could work. Also, we've had I'm very sorry, but I have to disagree with you, Monica, texting. Viceroy is not One Palm Jumeirah. One Palm Jumeirah is an apartment block next door by Omniat. So there you go.
I looked on a website, yeah, and I was confused about that, but I looked on a website and and where the location was, and it says on the website, I'll try and dig it out, One Palm Jumeirah. So I know what he's talking about, the thing on the left of the Viceroy as you're sort of looking front on, but I thought that was the address. So maybe One is a very big area of One.
We're going to come back. We're going to talk about more restaurants when we do. Also, we've got a brand new breakfast spot for you.
Food, the news and the reviews. Dubai Eye 103.8.
This is The Ticket with Mark Lloyd and Steph Bergen.
Yeah, we are talking travel and the best events in your city. And also coming up this Thursday, we're going to be broadcasting live from World Art Dubai. It's back, 150 global galleries. There's artists from 30 countries and lots of different work that starts at very affordable prices as well.
Yeah, you could find the next Banksy in there. Who knows? Got to keep looking. Got to keep investing in good art, but especially art that you like. And that's the thing about this show. You can go along there. They've got things for under 3,000 dirhams, as Mark said. So you can really get involved and start your own little collection. It's open from the 12th of April, 6 p.m. till 7:30. And 13th to the 15th of April, it'll be open 2 p.m. till 9 p.m. So it's great for going after work. And it's at the Trade Centre Arena, Dubai World Trade Centre. Tickets are only 20 dirhams to get in, and you will actually save 25% on that if you book online.
Yeah, so book online, and we'll see you there at Art Dubai. We're going to be there on Thursday.
worldartdubai.com if you'd like to make your booking and find out all of the news about the fair.
Food,
the news and the reviews.
We've got Monica with us from doindubai.com. Monica, we've got a couple more restaurants to talk about.
We certainly have. So we've just been speaking about the Viceroy Dubai, which has opened next to number one Palm Jumeirah, I've been told. But that's not the only new hotel that's opened on the Palm. Anyone know what the other very, very new hotel is that's opened on there?
I have no idea, but
another
I do have some music, which is a bit of a clue. Let me to think about this.
You have to wait till kind of it gets into the main tune. This is the intro.
Something with flowery tablecloths?
No. What's the lyrics to this?
Maybe it's because I'm a Londoner.
Well done.
Maybe it's because I'm a Londoner. But I love London town.
Correct. So I tried to find some nice versions of this with the lyrics, but it was all Chaz and Dave and really Cockney, and that's not the impression at all that one has when you're thinking about this hotel. So, Mark, you have been to this hotel in London. It's Duke's Dubai has opened, and you've been to Duke's London.
I haven't. It was fantastic. It's right on, I think it's St. James's Park one of the best hotels and one of the most amazing elevators that I've ever been to in my life. A real kind of, you know, old-fashioned antique elevator with this lovely kind of sofa seat that you can sit on.
Exactly. Well, I didn't go in the lift. I did go in the lift. I didn't see any seats in the lift. But I remember when I went to the Duke's London last summer, they said, we're going to try and replicate exactly that in Dubai. And I thought, right, you've got a job on your hands. And they've done a pretty decent job. I mean, obviously, it's not in anywhere like St. James's Park. So location and sort of coming up to it's not the same. But the flowers when you go into the lobby are absolutely beautiful. Huge kind of arrangements of white lilies, lots of sort of green and white. The same pictures that you'd find in Duke's London are in the lobby of Duke's Dubai. And that's also just opened on the Palm. And they've got a restaurant there called the Great British Restaurant, or GBR, you might know it as, if you sort of look for them on Insta. And I had a fantastic slap-up lunch there last week, and highly, highly recommend the food. Do you remember we were talking about Max's a couple of weeks ago? And one of the ladies... One of the ladies said, oh, it tastes like home.
Yes.
And we all understood immediately what she was talking about. Yeah. Well, when I was having my lunch there, my food actually tasted, and it sort of transported me being there, to a top restaurant in London. It tasted like home to me. And that was saying something for the chefs of Duke's Dubai. Mm. That one of the main ones is a guy called Martin Carhill. He was actually previously at the Mandarin Oriental, I think, before he came here. So he comes from a very, very good pedigree. But, you know, lots of chefs sort of say, oh, ingredients, it's all about the ingredients and then cooking them properly. I think this guy has actually done it. And there's something about the flavour of the food, kind of British classic. So I had a Dover sole. Anyone like or eaten Dover sole recently?
Yeah.
Have you had a really good one anywhere here in Dubai?
Oh, I can't remember my last Dover sole. I don't think it was here. I think it was in Torquay somewhere.
Somewhere in the UK. So that was really, really excellent. I really like my Dover sole. And it comes with steamed potatoes, lemon and caper butter sauce. So precisely the sorts of accompaniments I think should come with that.
As expected.
For 165 dirhams at a really smart place, Duke's Dubai. So, you know, a good price, I think, for what it is that you're getting.
What other British staples are on the menu?
Well, there's obviously cod and chips. We didn't try, but I would go back to have that.
There's always a lot of fish on British menus, I find, these days.
Yeah, that's good. And that comes with peas. So London Pride batter, chips and peas, 125 dirhams. They've got a cottage pie, which is also sort of very, very British. I had a fish pie. Oh, sorry, it's fish again, because they knew I don't eat beef. So they said, well, let's just kind of give you our signature seafood things. Absolutely delicious. And it was made with sort of monkfish cheeks and really good mashed potato and an excellent sauce. And we couldn't finish everything. And I took whatever I had home, devoured by the children at home.
I love a fish pie.
Absolutely delicious. I highly recommend it.
What should you have fish pie with? Peas, I reckon. Always peas.
They did us, I think, a really... There was the oven roasted cauliflower they had with some brown butter and red cheddar. That was actually delicious. We had that with it. Really, really, really good. So I highly recommend all the food. And then I had an organic salmon. I'm trying to find that. It's from 7NY, so all his ingredients sort of come there. I can't remember. Yeah, the organic salmon, cauliflower puree, compressed cucumber and brown shrimps. So sort of very British. Are you sort of getting this in there? 125 dirhams. And oh my God. So the puddings.
I'm getting that as expected, and there's not necessarily any big twists to be found.
But the twist is, okay, comparing. So Viceroy Dubai, I'm thinking atmosphere-wise, setting-wise, I'm not really in Dubai. This is beautiful. Duke's Dubai, I am in Dubai because of the type of building it is. Lovely restaurant, but the food has transported me. So do you see the difference there?
Okay.
And I think price-wise, actually quite good as well. I mean, not cheap at all, but not exorbitant.
Can I throw a new breakfast spot at you?
Yeah, go on then.
Because you know I love my breakfasts. Emirates Towers has got a new cafe. It's called Flow. Have you heard of this?
I have heard of it. I saw something in my inbox about it yesterday. Emirates Towers or JLT?
Emirates Towers.
Oh, Emirates Towers. Okay.
This place is so right now, guys. It is like a living, breathing Pinterest account. In the best kind of way. Lots of pastel colours. Have you noticed that everyone's doing the pastel colours all of a sudden? Like yellows and pinks and light blues. Didn't used to like them. I'm really getting into them now. Different textures to the fabrics. Good art. different sized tiles. Now, this is quite interesting. Running into each other. So imagine like larger white tiles at the bottom running into really small ones and then medium sized ones above that. A bit like a Satwa cafeteria, but made cool.
All right.
It's a really interesting place. Kind of place that you want to take photographs even before the food comes, Monica.
Yeah.
And they do all day breakfast, which I think something is seriously lacking with that in this town. There's a couple of places when I get up late on a weekend that I can still go for breakfast.
What time did you go for breakfast?
Probably around 11:30. Okay, but so they do it all day.
Oh, perfect.
All day, and I can only think of another two that do that. McGettigan's and Tom and Serge. So let me throw some dishes at you, because you like to do this to me, so I wrote some down for you.
I hope you've got the prices. That's what you like to do, to me. All right, perfect.
I did get the prices.
Good.
They've got egg baba ganoush on the menu, which is hen's egg, squash rosti, kale, sumac yogurt and hollandaise. How much for that? For breakfast? What would you be?
A cafe type place.
Yeah,
an unlicensed really nice cafe, but in Emirates Towers.
Yes.
60?
I'd say like 55.
35 dirhams.
Okay, that's very, very reasonable.
I had the
egg
Arlington.
What is a hen's egg as opposed to any other egg?
It's a bit bigger, isn't it?
Than where else would it be?
I had that conversation myself and I thought maybe a hen is just another name for a chicken.
Was it one egg or two?
It was one.
Okay, all right, so yeah.
If anyone knows that, by the way, 4001 ticketers, difference between a hen's egg and a chicken's egg, we'd love to know.
I love the combination, actually, of the squash rosti, because rosti is normally potatoes. So they've made the rosti, which is the grated up, the squash, and then flat fried it. And the sumac yogurt's sort of quite Emirati. I like local. I love those sorts of local flavours incorporated into that.
I like
Not
that
sure
too.
About the hollandaise. So they're having like that sort of heavy, like you'd have on a Eggs Benedict, that sort of hollandaise.
Yes.
And it worked?
But light. It did work.
Light. Okay, good.
The egg Arlington is an egg. Hen's egg again. Getting into that. Ordinary egg. A whole wheat muffin, smoked salmon, avocado, cayenne, and yogurt hollandaise. And that's also 35 dirhams, so not bad.
That's not bad.
A cheaper option, though, which looked great on the table opposite from me, was a granary French toast with poached peach, lemon mint yogurt, and maple syrup. Guess how much?
Oh, well, it's got to be at least 50 dirhams.
No, you said a cheaper option, so...
Oh, cheaper 30? Than 35, gosh.
20 dirhams.
20?
20 dirhams.
That's unbelievable.
I was really surprised.
How can they buy the ingredients?
Yeah, I know. It's a really nice little cafe. You should definitely check it out. They do lunches as well. They range between 35 and 50 dirhams, and the coffee is really good there as well.
And where is it again?
It's in Emirates Towers.
Right.
And how much is the coffee?
I wasn't sure, actually. I think it's about, I don't know, I didn't write it down. Damn it, I knew you should get me some.
No, it was just like, if you can get your meal for 20, then I'm expecting coffee to be 12.
Okay. I will find out and definitely let you know.
And I love the idea of poached peach. That's very, that's really nice.
Ah, you see, I couldn't do that because I think I might be allergic to peaches. Did I tell you about this?
No, you didn't. This is a new one.
In two different things recently and felt very faint afterwards. So yeah, I didn't.
Okay.
But the coffee in here is really interesting. They've got lots of different mixes, organic mixes of coffee, and they do that Chemex stuff. Have you seen the coffee mark that comes like it's a school science experiment? It comes in like a round glass container.
Yeah.
With a weird top, and it's like you're doing a science experiment. Okay. But it's coffee. They do that.
Do they?
It seems to
do
be the thing of the moment.
Do you add hot water to it at the table? How does it work?
No,
it's made like that.
It just comes like that, yeah. And I can't tell the difference between, you know, an Americano or an Africano, as they call them at my market, my breakfast market that
Sweet.
I go to.
An Africano?
Yeah, because it's African guys.
Oh, yes. I've seen that stall. Yeah,
so good. But I can't tell the difference between the Chemex coffee and the Americano coffee. I'm sure it's better because it costs a little bit more, but...
Yeah,
I'm going to send my husband along there because he works at DIFC, so I'll send him along with some people to try it. Yeah, Flow Cafe. Is it sort of locally owned or locally inspired by a couple of Emiratis in America or something like that? Those sorts of things are ringing bells
to
me. It
definitely feels like it because there's a lot of Emirati.
I think it is locally owned. Some young people.
It's
yeah,
really
this
nice.
Is the email I read.
I couldn't fault it. The only thing that we did say when we're sitting in there is because you know when you walk past and you're in a shopping mall, I like to forget that I'm in a shopping mall and it's quite open. And it's got big windows that then look out onto, I think you can see the Apple store off to the left and stuff. I would really
in Emirates
like the
Towers.
Place.
Apple store in Emirates Towers?
Well, no, it's not an Apple store, but it's got an Apple sign on the window because it's a computer store that works with stuff like that. But I would say I'd really like to see somewhere that was a bit more closed off. You know, like a secret kind of place where they had a small door and you walk in and then you walk in and there's a buzz. I would love to see that
so
somewhere.
So it's hidden gem.
But yeah, this is very open. Now, hens lay eggs every single day and don't need a rooster to help lay an egg, says B.
That's interesting, isn't it? We've learned something today.
Does that mean that chickens do need help to lay an egg?
A hardenery hegg?
Well, I'll tell you what, that tells us what we'll be doing tonight, doesn't it? Googling hens and chickens to find out the difference.
And this show is food news. I think maybe we should talk about Miss Wang's next time, because I think Mark will have been there as well. Possibly.
I will. I've definitely been there.
We can talk about that
then.
Properly, but we must give you another little snippet, because it's food news and reviews. We're saying bye-bye to Totora, a Peruvian restaurant that we've spoken about on this show. Really hasn't been open very long. It was in DIFC. I don't know if any of you are going there, but I got a comment through... based on the post saying, I went there and it's no longer there. So Totora has shut down and Meta, another Peruvian, is moving from DIFC to D3.
So much food news, Monica. We'll see you in 2 weeks' time.
You will.